92.9 The Game.
Mike, what are your expectations for Georgia Tech as it was ACC Media Days for them today and their quarterback, the head coach, spoke? What's your expectations for them?
Man, you know, 7 wins last year, you know, the 8 overtimes we talked about with Coach Brent Key. Again, all the interviews, us and Haynes King and Coach Brent Key online. Georgia fans, why are you talking to Tech? You guys, I mean, last week, Day-Day, when we were at the SEC Media Days, Andy Randy got Georgia. Right, they talked to Gunnar Stockton. They got to talk to Coach. We, in this case, got to talk to Georgia Tech's quarterback and coach because it was ACC Media Days. But anyway, those interviews are up there. I'm going to say, you know, I really want to say 10 wins.
Okay,
but that schedule is tough as well. That Clemson game is so big. You know, relatively early in the season. But Haynes, man, here's a word we'll use: moxie. I like the edge with Haynes King. You know what? Let's say this is the breakout year.
Let's break out year.
How about this? 10 wins. How about
that? It's the breakout year.
Let's have some glass half full for Tech.
I feel that way. And you're right about the schedule. I mean, listen, you can't run from that, and not that they are, but I also think, like, when you look at the opening game, here's what's going to happen. Because I'm telling you, they're going to go out to Colorado. They're going to beat Colorado. That's my opinion, okay? I think they're going to beat them. And then, Mike, people are going to say, well, wow, that was unexpected. And then a few weeks later, you get Clemson. And let's just say that they lose to Clemson. Guys, Clemson may be the third best team in the country that people aren't talking about, and maybe they are. Certainly the 6th best team in the country, if you really want to put it in perspective. Point is, you lose that game and people will lose confidence, but it doesn't mean that they can't go on to have that 10-win season that you're talking about.
Right, and the strength of schedule to get back in, remember, guys, it's still a 12-team playoff, so you'd have to win 10 games to make the playoff.
Yes.
You know, a 3-loss Georgia Tech that doesn't really have the juice nationally unless they beat at Clemson.
Unless you beat them.
And you beat Georgia. But the other game, and I said to Carl, it wasn't really a thing until, like, Fran Brown learned from Kirby, as did Brent Key learn working with Kirby and Nick Saban back in the day on staff at Alabama. But you remember, they were talking about the physicality and the kind of football they played, and Fran basically took that and used it against, you hear that? Georgia Tech says they're more physical than us. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Nobody at Tech said that, Coach. But Fran Brown made that the rallying cry. And I said to Carl earlier, another huge game, weekend before Halloween, Syracuse, October 25th at Bobby Dodd.
It is.
Because those guys, they got a great quarterback. They got a solid squad, right? I think same quarterback, new quarterback.
New quarterback. Yeah, quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, that might be the saving grace.
Let's hear from Haynes King, Georgia Tech's quarterback. As Mike mentioned, we spoke to him, the full interview's online. Go check it out, odyssey.com. About having a balanced offense, because this is the thing. Like, they have all of this offensive production coming back. When you start talking about 80-some-odd percent of your run game is back, your passing game and the guys that you threw are back, it gives you an advantage. Here's Haynes King.
I think everything's balanced as ever. Not even just the running backs and receivers, like the tight ends that we added. They're going to help us out in the run game and the pass game with who they are. And a lot of them is going to be veteran guys that's been here or even been in college football. So, you know, with adding that, they're going to know where to be at the right place and at the right time.
5-0 at home last year, we mentioned this. The fan base was great. I thought, you know, the flats were re-energized. The student section did a great job. But, again, you've got to take a jump. And so the accomplishments that Brent Key has been able to have is great. But let's be honest, this is still college football, and you got to score points. Now, the defense has improved, but, Mike, if we didn't mention it already, Buster Faulkner receives an extension from Georgia Tech, and a lot of people were excited about it, including Haynes King, who said that's a big deal for us as a program. But this is Haynes King, the Georgia Tech quarterback, talking about where the offense is right now.
I think we're going to be even more explosive than last year, just with who we added and what we have returning. The guys coming back and the camaraderie that we have and the confidence level that Buster has and us executing it. So, like I said, I feel like we're going to be even more explosive than we already are.
If that's the case, they're going to be a problem.
Got a great running back, you know, skill positions. They were looking for some more pass rush. They think they've got it in the transfer portal. Offensive line, it's funny. I asked Brent, I go, physical running game? He goes, shoot. Does a bear poop in the woods?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's a calling card. I mean, that's, you know, teams have, you know, the phrase playing personality. You know, that's kind of where they want to be. You know, and so that's, and like I said, I know that for Georgia, it's, why are you talking tech? Again, it was ACC media days, but it just seems like a team that.
Well, listen, Mike, if they start winning, we're going to talk more about it. We've been saying this.
And that's why, you know, remember when Jeff Collins had an introductory press conference, we were like, wow, what a 180 from Paul Johnson. And then he spent the next 4 years crapping on Paul Johnson and blaming him for his failings because he was just all hot air. And Brent is just real. You know, Brent's real.
He is real. What about all the seniors coming back? This is Brent Key. Earlier today on the show, because this has a team, he's got 27 seniors on this team. Here's Brent Key.
Yeah, you know, for the first time, the senior class will be the leadership committee, will be the leadership group. And, you know, it's very rare to have, you know, 27 seniors, especially now, this day and age. And not all of them are starters. They're not. And, you know, but it allows those guys to have a voice in leadership and be able to back the guys that are the vocal ones in front of everybody. And, you know, you say experience matters. I mean, my goodness, you know, some of the when you go through the retention phase, you know, of the year, some of the most valuable guys we were able to retain are the guys, you know, that third, you know, that O-lineman's third year in the program, or the linebacker that's in his third or fourth year in the program. And, you know, the DB, they might not be a starter, but they know how you do things. They know, you know, how you go about your business. I mean, they worked and trained. And those are just the most valuable pieces that people don't even know their names. They're the guys that give you that stability, though.
Interesting stuff. A lot of leadership on that team. That's another reason why I'm buying in. He doesn't have a young team. Mike is trying to figure it out. They all know what the expectation is. Now they've been through his program for the last few years, even the guys that have transferred in. I just think that there's a different expectation. One other thing I want to play for you, and this is the big thing, because Mike asked a question about, okay, pretty good last year. What do you need to do? And Brent Key was adamant. We need to take a big jump.
We're taking a lot of steps. You know, I think it's more of a jump we need to take, right?
Right.
You know, it's one of the things that, you know, you can't predict what's going to happen, you know, results of games and all that kind of stuff. I do feel like this is the best squad we've had, the most depth we've had. You know, love the way the team's come together over the summer. The new faces that have added in and really bought into what we do and how we do it. So I'm excited.
And we are too. Could be a really interesting year for Georgia.
Right. And as we said, I asked Haynes about knowing when to hold him, knowing when to fold him, and he talked about, yes, he's not that he's going to make business decisions, but he is a dual threat guy, and he moves the chains. But, you know, he's got to live to play another day and keep this. Because, again, if you, with all due respect to everybody else, no Haynes King, forget
it. No, you're right, Mike. He's a difference maker. 404-726-0929. One other thing we want to talk about in college football, and tomorrow again up at Flowery Branch and then over to Hooters for the show. What do you make about FSU's quarterback talking his talk about Alabama? And explain the background of this.
All right, so he did a podcast or an interview earlier, about a few months back, and Tommy Castellanos, who's a local kid, by the way, who was initially recruited by Gus Malzahn, wound up at BC, and unfortunately lost his starting job. He's a dual-threat guy. He went out to say that when they take on Alabama, they won't have Nick Saban to save them. And that kind of drew a lot of attention. You know, he says that, you know, he goes, I did say, you know, he backed it up when he was talking today at Media Day, that he's trying to give his team a spark.
Right.
And trying to create some swagger. He said, look, people don't know if they don't know, but you go back and watch the first game I played in, we always start fast. I dreamed of moments like this. I dreamed of playing against Alabama. They don't have Nick Saban to save them. I just don't see them stopping me. And that was the quote which had a lot of eyebrows raised.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, young man who lost his starting job at Boston College. You know, but Gus Malzahn hopefully will maximize the talent. Just the transient nature of the portal with Florida State, I have no idea what this team is going to be. I'm glad he's got confidence. You know, they're apparently doing better on the recruiting trail than I've reported for next season.
Okay.
But I still think this is a huge – Alabama could beat them by 3 touchdowns.
And if that happens, let me ask you, I mean, how soon is Norvell on the hot seat? Well, is he going to be?
Well, Norvell, and this is where, you know, you and I always say, stay true to your character. You know, if you're going to come in, if you're not a tough guy, you can't be a tough guy. The famous soundbite from Mike Smith from Hard Knocks, Carl, 2014. You know what they're saying about us around the league? The Falcons are soft. The Falcons are tough. And he pauses. Bull spit. I'm paraphrasing.
The Falcons were soft. The Falcons aren't tough. Bull.
I love Schmitty. We've met in football, it's one of those dudes I wish won it all. But anyway, but you can't just go, okay, man. We're going to be tough now. No, you just don't turn into like the 77 Raiders, okay? It doesn't happen like that. So today, and real quick, Day-Day, jump on the mic. I was telling Day-Day, he's doing these sound bites, and he's literally coming in, kind of like, you know, the way Les Miles would do it, very confident about my football team, and just like trying to convince himself and everybody else that you won two games last year. Your entire team quit on you. Your mercenaries just were absolutely worthless. Am I reading this wrong, Day-Day?
No, I said the same thing. I felt like it was very inspirational, motivational speech type of talk.
Okay.
But it also, the way his voice wavered, it was almost like, I'm not sure who I'm motivating.
Like you're trying to convince yourself. You know, look, God, like I never thought, I said to Day-Day, never thought in my life as an FSU fan, I'd be praying that Gus Malzahn can save the program. But that's kind of where they're at. He's the OC for those who don't follow.
Is this quarterback going to be any good?
He showed some great
signs. I mean, the way
he's
talking, you he better show up week one.
Did you ever see him play in high school, Castellanos? Because
I didn't see him.
I was going to say, because he was a local young man. Let's see here. He grew up in Miami, but I want to say he grew up in Waycross. When I say local, not local. He's all the way down south.
Gotcha.
But he's a Waycross kid. But he was a starter. He was at UCF, then he was at BC. So he's bounced around. That's another thing.
Well,
it can't be any worse than DJ Ukulele.
No. But Gus knows this kid. He probably recruited him there, and
he
came. Okay.
That's
all right. We'll see. Lots of conversation. Again, coming out of ACC Media Days, Big Ten is having theirs as well. Nothing really there going on. Ryan Day kind of stole the show yesterday, but we were talking about Tony Petitti and the commish of the Big Ten and what he had to say, because all the conversation is basically, you know, are him and Greg Sankey going to be on the same page about college football playoff expansion?
Not anytime soon.
And right now they're just not. But interesting to see what's coming out of the ACC. Here's the bigger thing, though. Rhett Lashley ticked off a lot of people yesterday, and you brought this up, Mike, with SMU before we get out of here. Mm. And now people are like, okay, SMU, show up in a playoff game because you got humiliated last year, and all this conversation about how the ACC is better and can be better, until you start winning playoff games, it just doesn't matter.
Look, we know that they've got a good quarterback. They've got, you know, that's, you got to have that to win. We get all that. And they did go and win 11 games last year. But, like, that ACC championship was there for the taking.
It was.
You know, that was a Clemson team that got spanked and lost, of course, you know, to their arch rival South Carolina that year. And then, you know, credit to Dabo and those guys with not having any quit. But they lost that game 34-31, and it was, you know, Clemson basically blew them out of the building in the first quarter, you know, and so then they came back, but it was too little too late. So I'm not sure they got the horses defensively, because I think if Klubnik has got it together, that Clemson defense is going to be something.
They're going to be good.
And I think that a lot of people are sleeping on Clemson because Dabo kind of became, you know, the butt of jokes because it was, you know, his just denying the transfer portal was a fit for Clemson, but now he's using it.
He is using it. Hey, man, we got to get out of the way. Turtle's coming up. He's got the night show starting at 6 tomorrow. Reminder, we are at Hooters Mall of Georgia, and we'll be up there doing the show after training camp, and Michael Penix Jr. is going to join us tomorrow here on the show as well. Make sure you tune in at too. Let's get out of here, O, and clear our throat.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat
on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game.
Hey, thanks to Brent Key and Haynes King for jumping on the show. Buddy Adam Schefter coming on today. Grant joined us as well. Braves lost today, if you were wondering. Yeah, Spencer Strider saying a few things that, well, had our ears perked a little bit, but either way, they're still not putting it all together, and they lose another series to the Giants. Mm. Off day tomorrow, then they get the Rangers on Friday. All right, Mike, tomorrow, first day of camp, excited. We'll tell you all the things that have happened and all the things that are going on, and we'll be grabbing guests as well. Make sure you tune in right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, I saw this today on Twitter. Credit to Brady Penn, who put the stats together. Luke Williams, utility infielder for the Braves, has a lower ERA than Raisel Iglesias and Bryce Elder in his four outings.
Really?
When he's been used to mop up. Remember they threw him in there at the end of the Phillies game? So a guy who's basically up there, hell, coach, I pitched in Little League. So just kind of give you an idea of where this team is right now.
CeeDee Lamb today quoted about Micah Parsons and Jerry Jones going back and forth. He said, quote, playing this media game with Jerry is not the best. It's not fun. It's not recommended. Micah knows what he brings to the table, and he should just get what he deserves. But I'm not indulging in any of this craziness that they have going on. This is CeeDee Lamb. He says, but I do want Micah to get paid soon. So CeeDee Lamb's like, my name's Bennett, and I ain't in it. And I don't blame him. But to see your teammate have to go through this when you know he's deserving is just a little bit frustrating. Joe Burrow said the same thing today about the Brown situation with Trey Hendrickson,
right,
saying, come on, let's get this stuff done.
And players don't want to talk about other players and money in that situation either.
Hey, man, we're back tomorrow for training camp.
Hooters, Hooters, Hooters,
Big
Buford.
O, great job, Day-Day, great job. Hey, if you love the show.
Tell your friends.
If you don't.
Come on, ride shotgun with me on Juniper. 3 lanes down to 2.
You more shredded than a Julian salad, man.